I have often said when I'm traveling how much I love the liturgy because it anchors us in the life of the church. No matter where we are or what we're doing, the church is continuing its liturgical pilgrimage, and all we have to do is jump back in wherever we are. So I've been traveling, seems like a couple of days, and now I'm back here, and I'm very happy to be back. And we get the story of Paul journeying. In this case, he arrives in Athens, the center of Greek intellectual culture, the academic center of the world, Athens. And then in the Gospel, we have Jesus continuing, or we're continuing to read from Jesus' words at the Last Supper in John chapter 16. Last time I was able to offer the Mass was Sunday morning. I was in the parish, I told you, the parish of Father Gabriel. He welcomed me there very beautifully and honored me there, and I was the main celebrant and he was the homilist. So that was Sunday morning. After that Mass, he immediately had another Mass, confirmation Mass with the bishop, so I had an opportunity to meet his bishop. It was a beautiful morning. And then Father Gabriel arranged for me to have lunch with some of his friends, including a Buddhist man, a Chinese. So anyway, it was a beautiful sunny day. It was probably about 20 degrees and sunny and bright and clear. Then after the lunch, I rushed back to my sister's house, packed up my things. Then my sister and my nephew took me to the airport. So by maybe 3:30 or so, I was in the airport in Central California. This is probably not important. It's not important to you, but what do I have in my mind? But my experience, it started out so beautifully. It was a beautiful day. Flew to Los Angeles. It was not a very long flight. Sat next to a huge trans woman. Anyway, I got into Los Angeles, and there was a long layover. It was more than 2 hours, and my other sister had sent me a free pass to the airport lounge. So I was in luxury there, free food, free drinks, comfortable chairs, quiet, clean, everything's nice about it. Well, then the flight to San Francisco, which was the second flight, that was delayed. So I was even longer in the lounge. By this time, it's getting late at night. It might be past nine at night. And I'm still in the lounge, and the flight's delayed. Finally, I went down and boarded the flight to San Francisco, and I missed the flight in the middle. So that's why I had 4 more flights to take. Instead of 1 flight from San Francisco to Manila, I had 4 flights. Anyway, so I'll just go to the low point because it's connected to the scriptures here. On that Sunday night, or by that time Monday morning, I get to the gate, the plane's gone, it's past midnight, there's nobody around, I have no place to stay, I have no ticket, and it took me about 3 hours before I could finally get more than 3 hours to get into a hotel room. I had a couple of hours of sleep Monday morning. The next morning, the hotel had a shuttle, but they don't go to the airport where I was flying out of, so I had to get a ride. The link that the airline had given me had expired already, so I had no ride. I had to get a taxi, and they said the taxi would cost $131. And I had to use the voucher, and then it wouldn't come until I'd have to wait for 30 minutes for the taxi. Now, by this time, it was almost 7:30 in the morning. I'd been up for an hour, and no taxi, and I'm about 45 minutes from the airport. So I said, oh, this is... Now, I don't know if I was getting into self-pity or whatever. I prayed. The taxi finally came, and the driver of the taxi, I was here now, I'm full of all my woes about my missed flight and no sleep and all these things. The driver of the taxi was a Russian Jew from Ukraine. I couldn't believe it. The man's sister lives right next to the Gaza Strip, and he himself still his relatives are in Ukraine. So he had quite a bit to say about Putin and about Hamas. Anyway, it was a very interesting 45-minute racing. He raced to the airport. I said, I cannot miss this next flight. Anyway, the legacy goes on. But my point is, in saying that, what was the low point for me was nothing by comparison to the Ukrainians or the people living in Gaza, they really have something to complain about, and I don't. Is God with us when we are suffering? Yes, he is. Is he still reigning when there's chaos and confusion? Yes, he is. St. Paul puts it very beautifully in the Areopagus in Athens. He says, even the pagan philosophers know that God is everywhere. He's not far away. He is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So even the pagans, with their philosophy, got to this conviction that we're not far from God, and we, our very being is in him. Now, they didn't know Jesus Christ, they didn't know the incarnation, but they knew that, well, it says they were very religious people. They had lots of gods. In fact, the more the better, because the more gods you have, the more likely you are to be in the right side of divine powers and not get struck by lightning or something. So, so God is with us. No matter what we're experiencing, whether we're in Gaza, in Ukraine, or it's 2 a.m. at the airport in San Francisco, God is with us. Paul's preaching to the Athenians, though, is not simply to affirm what they already know. He proclaims the gospel to them, because it's one thing to say God is everywhere and we're in him and we have our being in him. That's a good start. But it's another thing to say that God has become man, has taken on himself the condition that makes us suffer, the sin condition. He has died for us and has risen from the dead. When Paul gets to this part of the preaching of the gospel, they won't listen to him anymore. He starts, once he brings up the possibility of resurrection from the dead, they start to scoff or politely refuse him. They couldn't take the gospel of the resurrection. Which brings us to the gospel, in which Jesus, speaking to his own disciples, now these are believers, these are not pagans, and they're not Epicureans or Stoics or any other philosophers. These are people who have been with him for 3 years. And Jesus, reveals to them that there is still very much more for them that he wants to give them. And yet they are still not ready to receive it. They're a little bit more ready than the Athenians were, but they were still not ready. And then Jesus gives not only an understanding of what the problem is, but also what the solution is. So he says this, I have much more to tell you. I have much more to tell you. And this is true for all of us. God has much more for us. Much more. But you cannot bear it now. So if we're wondering why God doesn't do or reveal the things that he should do or reveal, it's because we cannot bear it now. It's very hard for us to bear the cross with an understanding that it's part of God's plan, that God uses the cross, meaning any suffering in our life, for the advancement of his kingdom, for our good. If you were to tell me, sitting in that hotel lobby in San Francisco, as I was fearing missing another flight, waiting for the taxi, if you would have said, well, this is good, I would have had a hard time saying it, but it's certainly true. We just cannot bear it because the suffering blinds us to the possibility of good. We cannot bear it now. But when he comes, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, he will guide you to all truth. So we're preparing now for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our novena to the Holy Spirit starts on Friday, right? Starts Friday. Why do we put so much focus on the Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot make progress. We cannot bear the full truth of the gospel. We cannot comprehend or abandon ourselves to the mysterious plan of God. But with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, we have a way to make progress. In fact, we are guided into all truth. We're guided into a condition that makes it possible to accept all that God has in mind for us. And what God has in mind for us is not only that we are purified through suffering or that we participate in his passion. What he has in mind for us is eternal glory. Eternal glory. So that's the good news that we must constantly put before us, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, welcome it. So I'm happy to be here. As I said, I had Mass on Sunday morning. Now it's Wednesday morning. So I don't know what happened to Monday and Tuesday. But God is with us no matter what day it is and no matter where we are. And we continue our journey relying on the power of the Spirit of Truth, the power of the Holy Spirit.